All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday Cast. Parshas Baha'alozcha doesn't go the way it looks like it's supposed to go. It spouts out, like, forward. Tuesday Cast, Parshas Baha'alozcha. Lilui Nishmas Meir Yechesko Ben Yosef Avram Mordechai Alav HaShalom. Also, Lilui Nishmas Ayal Yifrach, Gilad Sha'ar, and Naftali Frankel on the occasion of their first yahrzeit. Hashem Yukum Damam. Let me give you the Parshas Baha'alozcha summary. I'm not saying anything else on that because I don't really have anything else to say. Let me give you the Parshas Baha'alozcha summary. The command to Aaron to light the menorah, the designation of the Leviim, Hilchos Pesach Sheni, the cloud covered the Mishkan by day and their fiery appearance over the Mishkan at night. The Torah tells us the Bnei Yisrael camped and traveled according to the cloud cover. We learn in this Parsha about the silver trumpets. The Torah tells us on the second year, on the 20th of Iyar, the second year after Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the 20th of Iyar, the cloud lifted and the nation journeyed. We have the order of the tribes in which they journeyed. Moshe tells Yisro to come with us. Yisro says no. The Torah doesn't actually tell us if Yisro goes back to Midian or not. The misonanim, the people seeking pretext to complain. There was the anger and the fire of Hashem. Moshe dav and the fire sank. Then the people complained for meat. We remember the meat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt for free. It was so good for us there. Now we have only man. The people complain. We have Eldad and Medad misnabim binat machana. Eldad and Medad are prophesizing in the camp that Moshe is going to die and Yeshua will lead the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. The nation moves on. Very famous Miriam and Aaron speak Lashon Hara about Moshe. Moshe davens on their behalf. So that is the Parsha summary. Of all the things that I thought I would perhaps be teaching in this week's Parsha, what I'm going to teach is not what at all I imagined I would be teaching. And I'm sure you saw my email. Bless you. I'm sure you saw my email. We're going to be focusing on, and they did not think we were going to be focusing on at all. I just want to really express my karsa tov to Hashem for tremendous siyata d'shmai in helping me prepare the following shiur. Baruch pokeach ivrim. Pokeach ivrim doesn't only mean he gives sight to the blind, which it really does mean. He opens our eyes every morning and we can see. But it's also a new understanding or realizing something that was there that we did not see before. The pasuk says in Sefer Tehillim, "Ahavti sorasecha kol hayom hisichasi." How much I love your Torah all days! It is my conversation. And with that, and shemen sekar satov to Hashem, let us journey through a fascinating exploration into the names of the Nesiim, which are mentioned in the first three parshios of Sefer Bamidbar: Bamidbar, Naso, and Baha'alozcha. It's something in the Torah that's as important as the rest of the Torah, but we tend to not focus too much on it. Okay, those are the names of the Nesiim. Very good. They're mentioned in Bamidbar, Naso, and in Baha'alozcha. The Nesiim, my Ashur today, is called What's in a Name. So let's open up and let's just look at the verses to begin with, please. Perek Yod, Pasuk Yod Aleph. Chapter 10, verse 11. Perek Yod, Pasuk Yod Aleph. Please. Does everyone have a chumash or at least to share? Shall you don't want one? There's okay, because there's more in the middle.
I like to listen.
Perek Yod Pasuk Yod Aleph, chapter 10, verse 11. Here we go. Vayhi b'shana sheni, so it was in the second year, b'chodesh sheni, that is Iyar, counting from Nisan, in the month of Iyar, on the 20th of the month, the cloud lifted up from on top of the tabernacle of testimony. Vayisu b'nei so l'maseh, and b'nei so journeyed according to their bless you journeys from the desert of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the desert of Paran. So they went to the camp, they're going to the wilderness of Paran. Vayisu barishona, and alpi Hashem biyad Moshe, they journeyed for the first time, good morning, at the bidding of Hashem through Moshe. Vayisa, so here we go, ready? Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Not yet, it will be. Vayisa daga machane b'nei Yehuda barishona, Yehuda goes first, cover the malchus, litziv osim, according to their legions, val tzivo, and who is the head of the legion of Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav, pasuk tesvav, and for Yisachar, the tribe of Yisachar, Nisano ben Tzuar, pasuk teszayir, for Zevulun, Eliav ben Chelod, and then, v'huvet Mishkan, the Mishkan was taken down, because we discussed last week that Gershon, Merari, and Kahas were the ones who journey and carry the parts of the Mishkan. They are the carriers of the Mishkan. And after that, Pasuk Yirches, Reuven travels. Who is the prince for Reuven Elitzur ben Shadeir. Then becomes Shimon, Pasuk Yetesh, Shalumiel ben Surishadai, Pasuk Chaf, for God, Al Yosef ben Duel. Is everyone with me? Mm-hmm. Then Kahas travels, they're the ones who carry the parts on their shoulders. We spoke about that last week. They would put the Mishkan back up when they arrived. We come to who? Ephraim, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Elishama ben Amihud, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Bnei Menashe, Gamliel ben Pidah. Pidatur. Is everyone with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good morning. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Binyamin, Avidan ben Gidoni, Pasuk Chaf Hey, Dan, Ma'asif l'chol ha-machanos, he was the gatherer of all the camps. Who was it? Achiezer ben Amishadai, Pasuk Chaf Vav. Two more. Asher, Pagiel ben Achron, and finally Chaf Zayin, Naftali, was Achira ben Enan. These names are mentioned. There's chairs. These names are mentioned in the first three parshios of the book of Bamidbar. Okay, so the first time you learn it, the second time you don't pay so much attention. It's just names. Of course, it's not just names. It's nothing in the Torah by accident. Here we go. Let's start with Yehuda. We're starting, Be'ezras Hashem, please God, unless something's mamish not clear, I'm going to try and ask for no interruptions because I really want to get through all the 12 Shvatim. This is 13 pages. I usually get through about 7 in a class. So Hashem will help us. We have Kvitza Sederach. Here we go. 10:14. Vayisa Dega Macha b'nei Yehuda. Yehuda went first. Nachshon ben Aminadav was the prince for the tribe of Yehuda. Let's start with the name Aminadav. We previously learned a few months ago, Aminadav. Aminadav is the name signifies one who is ready to donate or give of himself on behalf of the people. Nadav, I am doing a donation on behalf of Ami, my people. Leadership qualities, Yehuda's Malchus, leadership qualities required of a Melech B'Yisrael are to be willing to self-sacrifice on behalf of the Klal. Does everyone see that? Aminadav. What does a king need to do? A king needs to sacrifice on behalf of the people. Where do we see that? Particularly in Nachshon, this very persona, Sota 37a, and I know we learned it a few months ago, I'm just going to repeat it to you quickly. Sota 37a, what happened on the shores of Yam? So, Omer Ein Ani Yorei Tchila L'Yam. You should know the Shvatim are all having an argument. I'm not going into the sea first. You would think the opposite. Maybe they were saying, I am going into the sea first. I'm not going first. V'zeh Omer Ein Ani Yorei Tchila L'Yam. And this one said, I'm not going in first. Nobody wants to go in first. Kafat Nachshon Ben Aminadav, quote, V'yared L'Yam Tchila. Nachshon Ben Aminadav jumped up. He was giving of himself on behalf of the klal, and he went into the water first. He was davening. The Gemara says he was davening. Hoshi'eni Elokim kibau mayim ad nefesh. Save me, God. The water has gone up to my soul. That is the ultimate mesiras nefesh on behalf of the klal, being willing to give up your own life for the good of the people. Okay, that's the part I wanted to tell you, and this is the reason that the Gemara says this is the reason that Yehuda got dominion. One of the reasons that he is Malchus is this ability to give up himself on behalf of the people. So that's Aminadav. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Now, what about Nachshon? What about Nachshon? So if you could please pass these source sheets out. Right, actually, there's 10. Which means there's enough for everyone to share. If you want them, take them. Most times people don't want them. So it's every two people, right? Most times people don't want them. I want you to look at it. Please don't pass it away. Please don't pass it out. I want you to see it.
So you could share. We could share.
Unless you Dafka don't like to look in the sources, it's instead of turning the Chumashim all over the place, I want you to be able to see the Pesukim. Okay? And try not to go ahead. We're only up to Nachshon. So first of all, do we understand what Aminadav means? Okay. What about Nachshon? So first of all, you'll see that Nachshol means a great surge. Now, how is that related to Nachshon? The great surge of water was up to his nose before he was safe. However, more compelling is a verse in the book of Bereishis. That's why I wanted to have the source sheet so nobody has to turn all over the place. 45:15. Vayomer Lahem Yosef. Wait. Does everyone understand what we're doing today? We're trying to understand why each Nasi has his name. It's not Stam a name, which is, I'm going to make a generalization, how we always, I would presume, me and my almost 39 years, okay, it's the name of Nasi. What's the Torah teaching us in each name? Why is that his name, and how does it relate to his tribe? Vayomer lam Yosef. Yosef said to them, Mahamasa zer asher asisem. What did he do stealing my goblet? Hello, yadatem ki nachesh. Ah, you see nachesh? Ki nachesh yinachesh isha asher kamani. What does the king say, Yehudas Malchus? What does Yosef, who's the king, say? Don't you know? What have you done? You don't realize a man like me can foretell events. Also translated as, do you not know a man like me can practice divination? Rashi says on that pasuk. Don't you know a man as important as me can foretell events? Says Rashi, Yodei l'nachesh. I can foretell events. I can ascertain through knowledge and logic and understanding. You stole my goblet. Take me back to the book of Bereishis. We're trying to understand. We understand what Aminadav means. Trying to understand what does the name Nachshon mean and how is it related to the tribe of?
Yehuda.
Yehuda, Malchus. So, let's look at this pasuk. Yosef was a melech. Yosef uses the word, the root word, nachesh yinachesh. Oh, we're talking about Nachshon, who's Malchus. So what does nachesh yinachesh mean? It means either I can foretell events or I can practice divination. What does it mean? Rashi says, you should know, a man as important as me, yodea l'nachesh, knows how to foretell events. I can use my knowledge, my logic, and my understanding to know what you did. So, Nachas Yaakov explains, Nachish is the ability to discern by intellectual means. Things even which are not always obvious. Nachas Yaakov explains, Nachish means the ability to discern by intellectual means. Therefore, a man like me, like Yosef, means a man with my intellectual gifts, a man with my leadership qualities, a man in my position. Don't you know I'm able to foretell and foresee events? This is exactly what a Jewish king, Nachshon, represents the tribe of Yehuda, has to be able to do. A Jewish king needs to use his intellect, his wisdom, on all three levels, Chachma, Bina, and Das, to discern that which is not obvious. A king has to be a discerning, wise, self-sacrificing ruler and leader in order to be strong, competent, and faithful. A Jewish king needs the ability to, putting it in quotes, practice divination, to tap into his kochos of chachma in order to foretell events, right? Where's my enemy coming? David HaMelech had to know, where do I have to go fight? Which border do I have to fight? Are the people going to have a revolt? Where do I need to collect more taxes? Using your wisdom, you need to divine, you need to be able to foretell events. Okay, so is it clear? Nachshon ben Aminadav. Yehuda uses his wisdom, Nachshon, Nachesh and Nachesh, to discern events on when he donates of himself on behalf of the people. But nobody asked me something. When else do we see the root of this word? Why are you laughing? I said no one's allowed to talk.
Yeah. We listened.
When else do we see this use of this word? The Nachash, Bereishis 3:1. I didn't give you the pasuk, okay? Bereishis 3:1. Mm-hmm. The famous primordial serpent in the Garden of Eden. Why is he called the Nachash? That's very negative. If we're saying Nachash, Yinachash, Ish Kamoni, says Yosef, and we're applying just like Yosef was a Malch, so to Yehuda's Malchus, and a king needs to be able to discern and tap into his intellect and intellectual's ability to foresee the future in order to be a competent ruler. Why is Nachash the same word? Nachash. So we see that any koach, any midah, very nice. Any gift of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and here we're talking about the gift of intellect. I wrote in my notes exactly what you just said, Susie. It can be used for perversion, twisted logic, for bad, which is what the primordial serpent did in the Garden of Eden, Nachash. Or you could take the same gift from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the same wisdom, and use it as Yosef said, Nachesh Yinachesh, Nachshon ben Aminadav. A Melech B'Yisrael obviously has to choose the latter route, to take his wisdom and use it appropriately. But we see that nothing is objectively, and we know this so many times, over and over, nothing is objectively, I'm putting in quotes, bad or good. It's how you use the midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. An example is anivus and gaiva. A person needs to have a healthy set. If you're too much of an anav, it's not good. Because we've learned this, because you negate your own ability to be an Eved Hashem. You think God doesn't need you. You do need a healthy sense of bal gaiva. I'm using this as another example of where you see a midah can either be good or bad, depending on how you use it. Mordechai said to Esther, don't be so humble. He got the malchus. This, tap into your kochos and use them productively. Nachesh in Nachesh versus Nachash. A Jewish king has to obviously use his intellect, all three levels of chachma, to discern wisely to foretell events for the future. He must be what I wrote, who uses his intellectual abilities to discern sometimes that which is not obvious. Do you know where your enemy's coming? Do you know which border they're going to be on? And he has to give up for himself on the nation, behalf of the nation, and therefore the prince of the tribe of Yehuda, Malchus, was Nachshon ben Aminadav, a person who is wise and discerning, using his wisdom, who will give of himself on behalf of the klal. It's clear? It's nice? You could say, now you can talk. Let's go on? Okay. Let's go on. Let's go on. 1 second.
I'm just getting 1 second. I'm out of here.
Nobody raised their hand.
That's so funny. You just put this down at the other table, please, in case anyone needs. Okay, 10:15. Let's move on. Yisachar. By the way, you are allowed, please, if you want the handles, you may take it home. Let's go. Who is the prince of Yisachar Nisano? Okay, first of all, this is unbelievable. Are you ready?
Nisano ben what?
Tsuar.
Nisano ben Tsuar. By the way, I did not go with most of them with the names of their fathers, okay? If you want to undertake it, please, call Kavara. I'm only basically focusing on the first names. What did Leah name her son? Vatomer Leah, and Leah said, Nason Elokim. I made it in bold for you. It should be jumping off the page for you. Vatomer Leah, Nason Elokim Sechar. Do you see Nason Elokim? What is it? What do you see? Nisanel. At the very moment of his birth, what does his mother declare? Nisanel. Do you see? Mm-hmm. It's not unbelievable? In my notes I wrote, wow, 2 times. Nasan Elokim Sechari, God gave me my reward, Asher Nasati Shifchasi Leishi, I gave my Shifcha to my husband. She gave Zilpah to Yaakov, Vatikra Shmo Yisachar, she called his name Yisachar. So first of all, we see right at the moment of his birth, his mother immediately, what's the first thing she says? Nasanel. She calls his name Nasanel, back in the book of Bereishis. Mm-hmm. What is the name of the prince of the tribe of Yisachar? Nisanel. Nothing in the Torah is an accident. Furthermore, Yisachar is the tribe of?
Yes, sir.
What's Yisachar, the tribe? The tribe who represents what, ladies?
Torah.
Yisachar is the tribe of Torah. We touched upon it last week, okay? Yaakov Avinu says, 49:14-15, Yisachar chamar rovates, garim ben hamishpasayim. Yisachar is a strong bone donkey, crouching between the boundaries. It's Bereishis 49:14. Rashi says he is the tribe who is carrying the load of
Torah.
And Moshe Rabbeinu also says, at 33:18, Devarim 33:18, Smach zvulim b'tzeisecha v'yisachar be'ohalecha. Yisachar sits in the tents of Torah. So Yisachar's midasar. So the first issue with Yisachar here is his name is Nisanel. Who in essence gave him that name? Leah, as soon as he was born, the first thing she says is Nisanel. And keeping in mind in the Torah, we've reiterated, there are no nekudos. Okay, furthermore, Yisachar is the tribe of Torah. It is possible, and unfortunately sometimes, I'm not saying always, sometimes, unfortunately, one learns a lot of Torah, or teaches a lot of Torah, when one becomes a Torah leader, he may come to think, too highly of himself. I have a nice following, I have a strong kahila, good leadership, the kavod gets the person's head. I'm not saying always, but too often, We hear about it and we read about it. The honor that comes along with being a Talmud Chacham can lead to a very strong Yetzer Hara. But the sages remind us, Avos 2:9. We're going to be reading Pirkei Avos this Shabbos, so it also ties into Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kibel mehilai v'shamai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai learned from Hillel and Shammai. Hu haya omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Im lomadata Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik tov la'atzmacha. Don't take good for yourself. Don't aggrandize yourself. Don't think you're so amazing. You don't get an award. You were created to be Amman B'Torah. What are you so proud of? You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Healthy pride, but don't think that, wow, you're the greatest thing since Adam. I'm putting it in quotes. You were created for this. Don't use Torah as a tool to aggrandize yourself over other people. Don't take extra credit for yourself. You were created for this. And therefore, when a person has success in Torah learning, and if you have strength for Torah, it takes great strength, and if you have a mind that can grasp its concepts, if you're worthy to spend your time in the tents of Yisachar, you should always remember, as did Leah Amenu, that whatever you have is? And what's the tribe of Yisachar? What's the Nasi's name? It's unbelievable. Who gave you what you have? Nisan Al. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Hashem who gave you the wisdom and the Chachma. Sometimes intellectual people, sometimes, maybe you don't know, I do know, are really Baal Gaiva. So they could really be there. They feel so much better than everybody else. I'm so brilliant. I'm so smart. What are you so smart about? L'kach Notzarta. Who gave it to you? Nisan Al. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're Zocha to Yisachar Ba'o Halacha. Chamar Rovetz Gar. Yisachar chamar roveitz, chamar garem, roveitz, tachas mishpatayim. If you're zocha to carry the burden of Torah, what are you making yourself into a Baal Gaiva for? It's Hashem who gave you all that you have. You know what comes to mind just now, which I didn't prepare right in, but when Rabbi Akiva came home from the academy, the shift, is she leaving?
Just changing.
Okay, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. I want to make sure you're okay. When Akiva came home with all of his Talmidim, and he had so much honor, 24,000, he started as a simple shepherd, the son of a convert, no covetous, fama come off, and here he comes home triumphant, the ticker tape parade. He deflects the honor from upon himself. He puts it upon who? Rachel. He acknowledges that it's not my honor. It's not from me. It's from her, of course, as a vehicle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Nisana'al, when a person is Zocha to be worthy to sit in Torah or to acquire wisdom, you know, everyone has to be very careful. What we have is always a gift from who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And unfortunately, sometimes people use Torah the way it's not supposed to be used. So why is Nisana'al called Nisana'al the prince of Yisachar? Two reasons. First of all, his mother said that immediately upon his birth. And second of all, why? Because Nisana'al, the wisdom that you have, the chachma you have, the success that you have is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clear?
Clear.
Okay.
Good. Also, they say one of the names of Moshe Rabbeinu is Nisana'al.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
very nice. He had 10 names. That was one of his names? Okay, very nice. That would tie in very nicely. Because in this week's parsha, Va'ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Ha'Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam, very nice, it ties in exactly to this week's parsha. He was the ultimate receiver of Torah, the ultimate vessel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke directly to him and transmitted Moshe Kibel Torah B'Sinai. That's where it all began. And yet, if one of his names was Nisana'al, then he understood that everything was from Hashem. And this week's parsha tells us, right, he was the most humble man despite all his chachma. Very, very nice. Very nice. Okay, does anyone want to say, we have a brave soul who spoke. Does anyone want to say anything else? You could talk. I just don't want long going off tangents. That's what I mean. You could say something. I didn't mean to scare you. Does anyone want to say anything?
I think we're all excited to learn the rest.
Yes, go.
Right. No, we're ready.
Right.
We want to hear the rest of the names.
Right, so we're going.
Move on.
Okay, let's go on. Zevulun. Okay, so Nachshon ben Aminadab and Yisachar are clear.
Yes.
Could I open the window a little?
Yeah.
Because I'm like having a workout. Yesterday I gave this class a little bit less in depth than my OHEL class for seniors. They said, you're so excited. Is this the first time you're teaching this? I said, don't worry. I'm going to be as excited the next 2 times I'm giving it over also. Okay, let's go. Zevulun. Va'al tzva matei b'nei Zevulun Eliav ben Chelov. The prince of the tribe of Zvulun is Eliav. So I gave you 33:18 from Devarim. What is Zvulun's? If you saw her is Torah, then what's Zvulun, ladies?
Parnasa.
Commerce. Ulizvulin Amar, Vilizvulin Amar, and to Zvulin Moshe Rabbeinu says, Smach Zvulin Betseisacha. Zvulin, you shall rejoice in your going out. Zvulin was the tribe who made a living, and he shared his dividends with who? Yisachar. Rashi says on that to Devarim 33:18. I'm going to tell you what Rashi says. Zvulun would dwell by the seashore. He would depart in ships to engage in commerce. He would earn a profit on what he sold. And he says Rashi would put his profit into the mouth of Yisachar. So it's a partnership, right? You give me part of your Olam Hazah. I'll give you part of my Olam Haba. Zvulun went to work. Yisachar learned Torah. They shared. You give me Torah, I'll give you Parnassah. Furthermore, Rashi says, Smach Zvulun Betseisecha, succeed when you depart for trade. So it's actually a bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu that they should be successful. A person needs to be successful in Parnassah. If that's your tafkut and that's what you're involved in, you should be matzliach in what you're doing. However, when a person engages, and now just like we see sometimes the Rabbanus and being Marbitz Torah, unfortunately you can become abused. So too, when a person is successful in business, when a person spends all day engaged in commerce, in business dealings and transactions, I wrote in stock market trade and shipping trade routes, when he is successful at what he does, the pasuk says, when you're successful at what you do, uvekarcha v'tzoncha yirbiyu, and when you have a lot of cattle and flock, when you have many cars and many houses, when you have a beach house and a this house, v'kesev v'zav yirbalach, and gold and silver will be much for you, v'chol asher lacha yirbal, when you're involved all day in commerce, it's very possible everything you have suddenly increases. It's impossible for you to become enamored with your own prowess. I'm giving you, it's on the sheets. Wow, you know what you say when you do so well in business? The strength and might of my hand made me all this wealth. Aha, says the prince of the tribe of Zvulun. Always remember, Kosh Baruch Hu is your father. Just look at his name. What's his name?
Eliyahu.
Just as your mortal father provides for your every need and takes care of you throughout your life. If your father gave you nothing else, he gave you
life.
Your life. You're here because of your father. Even if, and he did much more for everyone at this table. He did more than give you your life. And I don't know your personal situations, but I guarantee he did more than that. But even if nothing else, what do you owe your existence to? Your father. So too, your father, capital F, takes care and provides for your every need. Whatever you have has been given to you by the omnipotent father. Omnipotent means unlimited power. He's able to do anything. That's the exact definition here. Kosh Baruch Hu is your omnipotent father, able to do anything. Eliav. Zvulun says, God is my father, my provider, capital P, my sustainer, capital S. It's very possible when a person is successful, wildly successful. Rashi says, "Smach zvulun b'tzeisecha." You should be successful when you depart for trade. But with success sometimes comes kol chivaot semyadi. It's exactly what the pesukim say in Devarim. Look at Devarim. Uvecharcha v'tzoncha yirbiyin. You're going to have flocks and cattle. V'kesef v'zav. You're going to have gold and silver. Everything you have will increase because you're doing great in business. Oh, it's because of me. No, says Zvulun. I know my koch is parnasa, like you used the word, livelihood. However, Eliav, everything that I have is provided for me by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he is my father. And the parallel is unbelievable. Just like your father here provides for you, so too it's your father in heaven who provides for you. Anything on that?
I think it's also nice that it's a partnership. Hashem says, I gave you the koch to learn Torah and the smarts, and I gave you the success. But you can't keep it. It has to be shared.
So what are you saying?
It's from Hashem. That also reminds them that it's not your own. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Hashem, and Hashem wants you to share it.
Oh, so very nice. You mean in having to give some of your profits away,
right,
whether it's profits of Torah or financial profits, we're acknowledging that it's really not mine. And that ties into both names, Nisan Al and Eliav. He gave you your Torah, Nisan Al. Eliav, he is your father slash provider. And therefore, it doesn't. Nothing belongs to you. And in having to give some of it away, Rachel is saying that it indicates that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
Okay, very nice.
Chesed, giving to other people is because Hashem wants to remind it's not
very
ours.
Nice.
It's not ours.
Very nice. Let's go on. Very, very nice. Okay, beautiful. Let's go on. Clear?
Yeah.
Okay, Reuven, are you excited?
Yeah. So excited.
Should be very excited. Vinasa daga. Vinasa, next one on your hand. Vinasa daga machane ruuvein litzivos, and ruuvein traveled the camp of Judah, traveled according to their allegiance. Valtivo elitzur ben shadir. This is unbelievable. Elitzur.
Right, yes.
Ruuvein. You're not with me? It's 10:18. Reuven is Elitzur. Reuven was a weak personality. If you had to define Reuven, I'm talking about the original Reuven. He was a weak personality. Here we go. He was unable to save Yosef despite noble intentions. The pasuk says, it's on your sheet, Vayomar lehem Reuven. Reuven says to his brothers, Al tishpichu dam, don't spill his blood. They want to kill him. Hine bala chalamos alazabal. Oi, the dreamer's coming. Let's kill him. Hashlichu oso ela barzer shabimimber. You know what you should do with him, says Reuven? Throw him in the pit. Vayad al tishlichu bo. Don't do anything to him. Now the part is in bold, is like brackets in the pasuk. It's almost like parentheses. Reuven's not talking anymore. The Torah is telling you, why did Reuven say throw him into the pit? Leman hatzil oso miyadim lahashivo al aviv. His intentions were to come back. He was going to stay in the pit. You could survive some hours without food and water. The brothers would leave. Reuven would take him out. Lahashivo al aviv. The Medrash says on that pasuk, had Reuven known that the Torah would have written this about him, he would have carried Yosef home on his shoulders. Reuven was weak. He could not live up to the potential within himself. We see that here. Furthermore, he's criticized by his father on the elder's deathbed. The pasuk says, "Pachas kamayim al tosar, turbulent as waters, you will no longer excel." You have the pasuk. Ki alisa mishkave avicha, you mounted, you went up onto your father's bed. Az chilalta yitzui ala, you went into my couch and you defiled it. So we see that he was not able to tap into his koach as a leader. He was the bechor. He should have taken charge. He should have carried Yosef home on his shoulders. He could not. He was turbulent as waters. Waters are churning. Waters are fast moving. You need to think before you make a decision. Don't move your father's bed from one tent to your mother's tent because you think that's the better way. He lost the right. Furthermore, he lost the right to the Bechorah when his tribe sinned at Egel HaZahav. So he's weak, he was not able to bring Yosef home. The Medrash says, had he known what the Torah would have said, he would have carried him home on his shoulders. He's criticized by his father on his deathbed, and he lost the right to the Bechorah when his tribe sinned at Egel HaZahav. He lacks the courage necessary for kingship. That was taken by his brother Yehuda. He lacks the spiritual strength necessary in it for Kohuna. That was taken by Levi, the tribe of Levi. So there, look, of all the six brothers from Leah and Yaakov, Reuven lacks the qualities necessary for Malchus, Yehuda. He lacks the spiritual strength necessary to be a Levi, to be the Kuhuna. He even lacks the bond of brotherhood and partnership shared by Yisachar and Zvulun, and also shared by Shimon and Levi. What does Yaakov Avinu say to Shimon and Levi on their deathbed? Shimon v'Levi? Achim, your brothers. Reuven, in a word, is what?
Coward. What? Not strong, coward.
But that we said. Now put everything we said together, and what would you tell him about Reuven?
He's weak.
We said weak.
He's an outsider.
What?
An outsider?
I can't hear.
He's an outsider.
Ah, he's lonely. He's an outsider. Reuven's an outsider. He doesn't really fit in anywhere. He can't tap into his koach as the Bechor. He lost the Baigel. He can't rescue Yosef. He's not part of a shared partnership like Yisachar and Zvulun and Shimon and Levi. He's not Kahuna. He's really an outsider amongst his brothers. When one is all alone, and sometimes in life we feel all alone. You feel dejected. You feel due to your nisyonos. There's no one with you, who understands you. You have to remember there's one with a capital O who will never abandon you. Who? And what do we call Hashem? Hashem Tzuri V'goli. Hashem is my rock and my redeemer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your rock. A rock doesn't move. A rock is strong. A rock will be in your garden if you never kick it out of your garden. What's the prince of the tribe of Reuven? Elitzur. Hashem is my rock. It's unbelievable. When everyone else has abandoned you, and that's Reuven, he's an outsider and he's lonely, and we've given the reasons why, there is one who will never abandon you, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is your rock. Eli Tzur. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The Torah is unbelievable. I know I've said this a few times over the past 2 weeks, but when people say, no one here, a man wrote the Torah. It's just so unbelievable. There was a famous Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert who lived in Vilna in the 1700s. He was the son of a famous Polish count, and he went to Italy to university, and he became acquainted with the Jews, and he wanted to become a Ger. He converted. He was known as the Graf, bless you, G-R-A-F. The Graf became lonely, and he wanted to return home. He went back to Vilna. However, being a Jew in Vilna, converting to Judaism in Vilna was a capital crime. So to avoid detection by the police, he settled in a small town in Ilya, near Vilna. He lived in Ilya, where he lived and he studied. The local Jews discovered this young man who sat in the base medrash all day was the son of the famous Count Potocki, and that he was born into aristocracy, and he was now a Jew. One day, a youngster in the base medrash was making noise, and the Graf told the child to be quiet. The boy's father said, "You're not a Jew. You told my son to be quiet," and he went and he informed the police. He was a moser, and he went to inform the police. The Graf was arrested, and he was told by the tribunal that if you accept Catholicism again and renounce Judaism, we will let you live. He resisted all pressure. He insisted on remaining a Jew. He was sentenced to death. The night before his execution, the Vilna Gaon visited the Ger Tzedek, the Graf, and the Graf was crying. So the Vilna Gaon said to him, "Why are you crying? Are you afraid of torture? Are you afraid of death?" So the Ger Tzedek said, "I'm afraid of one thing. I will be lonely in the world to come," because he was a Ger. He didn't have time yet to marry and have children. Halachically, he had no family. His family is not Jewish. "I will be a stranger. I will be alone in the next world." So the Vilna Gaon quoted the Medrash that explains, Hashem says, "I am the first to the one who has no father. I am the last to the one who has no son. I am the first to you if you have no father. I am the last, the one who has no son." The promise of Hashem, said the Vilna Gaon on these words, is that he is the family to one who has no family. Upon hearing this, the Graf explained, "Nechamtani, nechamtani, you have comforted me, you have comforted me." The Vilna Gaon left the prison. The Graf was publicly executed on the second day of Shavuos, 1749, in the Cathedral Square. But why am I bringing you this story? Because it ties into exactly what we're learning here. When a person is utterly alone, an outsider, they feel rejected and dejected by all elements of society. There is one who will never leave them, and that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Tzuri Go Ali Eli Tzur. Hashem is my rock. You are never alone. Okay, we could go on. Okay, it's clear. And the tribe of Shimon is Shlumiel ben Suri Shaddai. Okay. Bereishis 29:33. It's on your handout. Vatahar od, Atele ben, she became pregnant again. She gave birth to a son. We're talking about Leah. Vatomer, and she said, "Kishama Hashem, kisnu anochi, God heard, I was hated. Vayitin li gamazeh, he also gave me another son. Vayikra shmo Shimon," she called his name Shimon. Remember, we're trying to understand why Shimon is Shlumiel. Here we go. So we have to look first, what did his mother name him, and why did she name him? "Shama Hashem, kisnu anochi, God heard, I was hated, and he gave me this child. We sojourn," I wrote in my notes, "through this finite world for a limited number of years." Hopefully it's Bezos Hashem till 120. Did everyone see that the founder of Shosharit was Niftaras?
Yes.
She was a beautiful young woman. She was 42 years old. She was first diagnosed at 28. She had two young sons, and she was a driven woman. She wanted to help other people. And she founded Shosharit. It came back in 2009, and she was Niftaras.
What's the organization now?
To help women who have breast cancer.
She started Shosharit, which is a major organization to help people, resources, medical advice. All right, let's go on. Alayla Shalom. Let's go, ladies. We sojourn through this finite world for a limited number of years. And you know what? Everyone at the table, I'm making a generalization, maybe you can't say, but maybe you could say, what you get is not always what you thought you wanted. Rabos machshavos believe ish vatzas Hashem hisakam. I have many plans, but you know whose word is really going to be upheld? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's look at Leah. She was not the Akeres Habayis. If you want to see one place where Rashi calls Rachel the Akeres Habayis, it's Bereishis 46:19. But he says it in many places. He even says it on Megillas Rus. Rachel, we reiterate over and over. Even in Rus, we're told Rachel was the Akeres Habayis. Leah was not the Akeres Habayis. She was not the loved wife. The Torah tells us multiple times by Arishem Kisnu Aleh. Leah, she says, Snu Anochi. The pasuk says, Vaya'ahav es Rachel Mileah. He loved Rachel. She was not the Kirsavai, she was not the loved wife, but she knew to be a servant of God, you have to be at peace with what Hashem gives you. It's a very strong Mr. Haskell for all of us. A person has to be, if you want to be an Eved Hashem, you have to be at peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because what he gives you is what you need to serve him. Just like the sages remind us, Avos 4:1, Ezahu Asher, I know you all know this, HaSameach B'chalko, you want to know who is wealthy? When you are satisfied with what you have. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, the Mishnah quotes Tehillim, Yegia Kapecha Kisoch Al Ashrecha V'tov Lach, when you eat the labor of your hands, praiseworthy. What does the Mishnah say? Ashrecha B'olam Haza, you're lucky in this world, Tov Lach La'olam Haba, when you're satisfied, when you acknowledge you're at peace with God, what he gave me is exactly what I need. You're fortunate in this world. It will be good for you in the next world. If Hashem has heard your cries, please look at the pasuk again. When Leah names him, please look at inside while I read my next sentence. Look at 29:33. No, here. 29:33 on your handout. Sorry. Look at 29. Bereishis 29:33. We're up to Shimon. If Hashem has heard your cries, ki shama Hashem ki snu anochi, and if he blessed you with great blessings, nevertheless, vayitain li gamesa, if you are fortunate and wise enough, are you ready for the next word? To recognize your blessings and to be satisfied with your portion, then you are at peace with Hashem and you have shlemus in your avoda. What is the prince of the tribe of Shimon? Shlumiel. Take away the nekudos. You have to be shalom with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's two things. You have to be at peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what he gives you. Nobody wants to be the hated wife. Nobody doesn't want to be that Karis Abayis in her own home. That's what Hashem gave you. What do you have to do with what Hashem gave you? You have to say, Shama Hashem, nevertheless, he heard my tefillos. He blessed me, even though what I perceive as a struggle. And therefore, you have to be at peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shalom with Hashem, and you have to have shlemus in your avodas Hashem. Now, what's fascinating is I want to take you to Yaakov Avinu for a minute. What did you say, Rabbi Tzinkadesh? What did you say?
I'm just thinking of Shlumiel. Shlumiel.
I know, someone told me this last week.
Is this the same? No, it's not it, but is he the same Nasi of Shimon that sinned with Kazbi Basur?
Say it again.
Is he the same Nasi? I'm not sure if it is. I was trying to look it up. Nasi of Shevet Shimon that sinned with Kazbi Basur.
Oh, it was.
It has a different name.
That's in
Parshas Pinchas? It wasn't Shlumiel. I'm very upset. I can't remember names lately. I don't know what is wrong with me. Let's go. Zimri.
Zimri. I just once heard that.
Okay.
No, I did hear Zimri Ben Sala, but Zimri Shatsur also is... I didn't make it up in my own head, but, you know, but it's possible it was the same person, but Zimri Shatsur is a rat.
Right.
And Solo, even though it's Solo, is also
Salazar.
Sometimes
yeah.
I understand.
Right, Solo, right.
All right, let's go. There's enough for now, but there's a difference between Sur and Salah. Okay, let's go on. It scares me when I can't remember. Let's go. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I did remember. Yaakov, I want to tell you something interesting. Now let's go on. Yaakov had one Nisayan after another. He himself says, we touched upon this last week, Kal Shakai Rash says, I have not had quiet since my youth. I had the trouble with Esav, the trouble with Lavan, the trouble with Dina, the trouble with Rachel, the trouble with Yosef. He's always running into trouble. But when he's, you have to be shalom with Hashem, kamome. That's what the trait of our Avos and Imas. They were shalom with Hashem no matter what. Look at the next source, please. Genesis, Bereishis, 28, 20. 20 through 21. Bereishis 28, right at the bottom of page 1. It's unbelievable. It's when he's leaving. He's going to lose. It's in Parshas Vayetze. This is after he has the big dream with the ladder. Vayidar Yaakov Neder Lemer. Yaakov took a swear, saying, "Imi Yehi Elokim Imadi, if God will be with me, Ushmarani Bederach Hazen, guard me on this way, Asher Nochi Holeich, that I am going. Venasani Lechem Lechol Begalil Bosh, just give me Hashem, just as long as you give me bread and clothing." I'm just looking at the level of a pshat now. Vishafti, look at the next words, and I put in bold for you. It's unbelievable. Bishalom. Al base Avi. All I want is to return whole, complete shalom to the house of my father. Look at Shalom Al. Put the words together. Shalom Al. Shlumi Al, a person has to be. You're running away, you're on the lam, your brother wants to kill you, you're going to love on Harasha, all you think you're going to get is bread and water. He ends up there empty-handed with only the clothing on his back. But what's the desire of a Jew, no matter what Hashem sends my way? B'shafti b'shalom el beis avi shlumi al. I highlighted for it. Do you not see? A person has to be shalom with Hashem. In my own notes, this is also a real wow, two wows with an exclamation mark. It's a level we have to strive for. And that is to be at peace with Hashem, to accept what He gives us, to be satisfied with what we have, and to be shalom in our lives, complete as Ovdei Hashem, especially when it's difficult. And the tribe of Shimon was Shlumi El. Good? Okay, let's go on. Done. God. Joking. God. 10:20. Okay. Val Tzva Mate Bnei God Al Yosef Ben Duel. The tribe of God was Al Yosef. Here we go. The Pasuk says in Devarim 33:20-21. You see? 1 second. This is the bracha of Moshe. I'm going to tell you the literal interpretation of the Pesukim, but then I'm going to tell you what Rashi says, because we can't understand without Rashi. 33:20. Okay, here we go. Ready? Ula God Amar, Moshe said to God, Baruch Marchiv God, blessed is he who broadens God, Kilavi like a lion shachin he dwells. No, I'm going to say it in Hebrew, and then I'm going to say it in English, and then I'm going to tell you what I have in my notes on Rashi. Ula God Amar, Baruch Marchiv God, Kilavi shachin v'tarev zroa av kodkod. God is blessed is he who broadens God. God, he dwells like a lion, he will tell... He will tear off an arm as well as a head. Vayar reishus lo, I'm in your handout. Kisham chalkas mecho keksafun, vayesei rashe am tzidkas Hashem aso mishpatav im Yisrael. This pasuk means, he saw the beginning for himself, there's the hidden plot of the lawgiver, he came at the heads of the people, he carried out righteousness of Hashem, his ordinances with Israel. What's going on? I'm going to tell you what Rashi says. Rashi explains these two psukim as follows. God's portion, we know, is on the eastern side of the Jordan River. God did not cross the Yarden. He stayed on Eiver HaYarden, with who? Reuven, God, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe stayed on that side. Rashi says, what does it mean God was strong and mighty? He would tear off the arm and head of the enemy, says Rashi, in a single blow. He was a warrior. He was also, says Rashi, discerning and wise. He foresaw Moshe would be buried on Eiver HaYarden, and therefore he wanted his territory to be on Eiver HaYarden, so he could be where the Mechokeg was, where the lawgiver was. However, says Rashi continues, despite settling on the eastern side of the Jordan, he went armed ahead of the children of Israel in the conquest of the Holy Land. God was mighty. Is everyone with me? Rashi explains on these psukim. He chose to stay on Eiver HaYarden because Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be buried on Eiver HaYarden. But he was a very strong and mighty warrior. When it came time for Mechama, he would cut off the head and arm of his enemy at the same time, so his enemies were recognizable. However, even though he stayed on the eastern side of the Jordan River, says Rashi, he kept his promise to cross into Eretz Yisrael with the people until the land was conquered and apportioned. So ladies, are you listening now? Is it clear what the Pesukim mean with Rashi? So now let's understand Al Yosef. God, in his strength and might, went ahead of the nation to lead them into, or we might say to gather them into, the Holy Land. He was mighty. He was a warrior. The people are smiling, got it? He was a warrior. He was ruthless in his slaying of the enemy. He gathered the nation to inherit the good land. However, we have to always remember, as did God, we're not, no matter how mighty in war we are, and physical prowess we are, we're not the gatherer of the people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the gatherer of his people. We are his emissaries. Who said before, it's interesting, there's a partnership view. We partner with Hashem to do our hishtadlus in this world. Sometimes man is a shaliach, but Hashem is the one, capital O, who gathers his people in. What is the nasi of Sheva God? El Yasaf. A person has to acknowledge who gathers us in? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we merit, I just said, I'm not finished, but the ultimate and final in gathering soon and in our days. Okay, let's go on. It's clear? Okay, Oy vey. Okay, I have 12 minutes, let's go on. Okay, 10:22, Ephraim. Vinasa Dego Machana Bnei Ephraim Litziv Osam V'al Tzivo Elishama Ben Amihud. You have it on your paper. The prince of Ephraim was Elishama. So now look at Genesis 41:52. It's on your handout, please, right? Mm-hmm. Did I give it to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, it's there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 41:52. Thank you. The Esashem Hasheni Kara Ephraim. Yosef called the second one Ephraim. Ki Yifrani Elokim Be'eretz Ani. God made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Okay. God made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. He called his name Ephraim. Yosef recognized, even though he was in the land of affliction, there was great blessing. What was the great blessing? He was fruitful. The lineage of the house of Avram Avinu would carry on, even in exile. The lineage of the home of Avram Avinu is going to carry on, even in Galus. Of Salvechik, Zatzal teaches, Jacob was in exile. Yeah, why did the Hashkacha, he says, send Yaakov into exile? Avram was told to journey to the land. Yitzchak could not leave the land. Why was Yaakov in Galus? So Rav Salvechik says, Yaakov was an instrument in the hands of the Almighty to prove something. What did he have to prove? A basic truth. The word of the covenant is capable. The word of the covenant can be practiced not only in the Holy Land, but in exile as well. Imagine if we, all of us here, felt that the covenant, the Torah, the Brisha Avraham Avinu could only be practiced in Eretz Israel. Far away, you could be far away from Hebron and Shechem. Yaakov was chosen to teach us Yahadus is universal. Im Lavan Garti, the Pasuk says, 32.5, Bereshis 32.5. So Rashi quotes Chazal, Tariag Mitzvah Shamarti. Im Lavan Garti, Tariag Mitzvah Shamarti. I lived with love and I kept the 613 mitzvahs. So if Salvechik says, you think Chazal were playing on words because it has the same letters, Garti, Tariag, he says, no, it means Yaakov was not assimilated. He did not integrate, even though I lived with love and I kept the 613 mitzvahs. I was a stranger. The same way, he says, later Yosef was a stranger in Egypt. Yosef had to prove the same thing, that Avram Avinu's covenant can be practiced outside of Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference, though, between Yaakov's keeping of the covenant in Galus and Yosef's keeping of the covenant in Galus? So Yaakov had to prove you could keep the covenant in poverty and in oppression. In Luz, in the backwater of Luz, when you're oppressed in the ghetto, when the enemy says, Hatzon Sonai, what you have is what I have. Abnos Bnosai, your women are my women. When the enemy says they oppress you and they're ruthless to you and they're tricksters to you, you can keep the covenant. Yosef had to prove the opposite, that the covenant can be kept with unlimited riches, that power is not incongruous with the sacred covenantal lifestyle. A Jew can be fruitful, okay? That's what Salvechik says, that Yosef was heroic, because he kept his spiritual heritage in the most advanced civilization of antiquity. He was a hero for keeping the covenant of Avram Avinu. An image of his father appeared to him in the window. He was able to stay true to the Mesorah in the most advanced civilization of antiquity. So we learn that a Jew can be fruitful. You can be a Jew. You can be loyal to the covenant even in the land of affliction. But what do you have to remember? Hashem is with you. Hashem hears your cries. It's Hashem is with you. Hashem made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Because we have to believe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now we have to believe. The sages tell us, now we have to believe. The sages say, when Klal Yisrael goes into Galus, the Shechina goes with. Hashem is always listening to what? Make us successful. You could be in the backwater of Luz. Yaakov was wildly successful. And you could be at the forefront of Egyptian society. And Yosef was wildly successful. Hifrani Elokim. God made me successful. He made me fruit because he hears us. He always, we have to know, no matter where we are, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what we face, it's a basic tenet of our faith to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears us even in Galus. And what is the prince of the tribe of Ephraim? Elishama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears, he listens, he will answer your tefillos no matter where you are. Which brings us to Menashe. Which brings us to Menashe. I shouldn't be upset. Whatever we do is that Tamash Hashem wanted us to do. Va'al tziva mate b'nei Menashe. On the tribe of Menashe, Gamli al ben Pedu Tzur. Okay. The prince of the tribe of Menashe is Gamli. Someone said something? Okay, here we go. Let me see how long this one is. Okay. Man, what comes next? Okay. Menashe, Gamliel. So 41:51, Bereshis 41:51 on your handout. Vayikra Yosef Hashem HaBechor Menashe. Yosef called the name of the eldest Menashe. And what did he say? Nasheni Elokim eskol amali veskol beis avi. This is typically translated as, God made me forget my hardship and my father's household. That typically means, Hashem made me forget my hardship and my father's household. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch writes on that pasuk, Nasheni usually means, God made me forget. Who, he writes, says, quote, who would not shudder at reading such a sentence? Yosef would give his firstborn son a name signifying God made him forget his troubles, forget his family. We would see Yosef as a man without a heart. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, fortunately, however, Nasha also has another meaning. It means, this is very, very profound, it means being a creditor. A creditor is someone who lends you something, who does a service for you. Yosef is saying here, my troubles have become my creditor. I'm going to explain. My father's house has become my creditor. I had to read a few times to understand what Shamsher Fal Hirsch was saying. Nasheni means, quote, God has turned my tragedy and my family, who were the source of his misfortune, you could say, into my creditors. They did something for me. A creditor does something for you. He lends you money. He does a service for you. Here Yosef is saying, my family and my troubles have done something for me. In the words of Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, quote, what until now seemed to be misfortune and abuse turned into an instrument to shape my happiness. I find myself, said Yosef, deeply indebted to my troubles and my family. You understand how profound that is? What seems in your life to be misfortune and abuse, you may come to see it as, it's a service being done for you. This is a very deep and profound statement I wrote, with far-reaching implications and life lessons. Often, ladies, with the passage of time and the wisdom of years, are you listening? We may come to see our misfortune and abuse as instruments that may actually shape your happiness. I'm going to repeat that. With the passage of time and perhaps the wisdom of years, you may come to see your misfortune and abuse as instruments to shape your happiness. You might actually feel indebted to your troubles. Your troubles might be your creditor. Though, when you are mired in your pain, initially you don't always feel God is attuned to your cries. I want to tell you something about Yosef. He could have said, where is God? Thrown into the pit, does God talk to him? No. He's on the caravan. Does God talk to him? Don't worry, Yosef. I'll be with you in returning to this land. Who did he speak to? He spoke to Noach. He spoke to Cain, who killed Hevel. He spoke to the murderer. What did he say to him? I have a chich. Where's Hevel? He spoke to... You know who he never talks to? Never? Yosef. He spoke to Yaakov, his father. He spoke to Yitzchak, his grandfather. He spoke to Avram Avinu. He spoke to Noach. He's constantly talking to Noach. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to Cain. Who doesn't he talk to ever? Yosef lived a life of... Hester punim. Bereft, he was thrown into the pit, God silence. Sold on the slave block, divine silence. Bereft of his mother, torn from... Hold your question, please. Let me just finish, and then I'll take it. Torn from his family and his father's house. Seduced by Ashes Potiphar. Thrown in jail. Necessary to the Egyptians, but never really accepted. You could see for that, Bereshit 43:32. He wasn't really accepted. He may well have thought, God is really not listening to me. What is the meaning of all my troubles? What is the meaning of God's never-ending silence? Yet Yosef understood Hashem, discerning as he was, Nachesh Yenachesh. He was discerning. Hashem was always with him. He knew all his troubles were always from Hashem. Rashi says, Shem Shamayim Shagur Befiv. Potiphar liked him because he had such a muna. Yosef understood he might grow from his troubles. He understood you could actually become indebted to your troubles, for what manifests as pain, what begins as pain, may actually manifest as joy. No matter where you are, I wrote, home or away, secure or in unrest, ruling viceroy or slave boy, in pit or jail, Hashem is always to you and with you, and redemption and happiness will surely come. What is the nasi of the tribe? Yeah. What does it mean? Gam li kal. Hashem is always to me. Hashem is always with me. Even when my burden, my suffering seemed so oppressive, I now realize it is my creditor. I am indebted, says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, to my family. I am indebted to my troubles. I am indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Gam li el, he is always with me. Now, furthermore, that's the first reason. Furthermore, there's another thing we could say about Menashe, and that is, look at 48:14, please, Bereshit 48:14. It's on your sheet. Hey, Vayishlach Yisrael's Yamina Vayashas Arosh Ephraim. Yisrael put his right hand on Ephraim. He's the younger one. And he put his left hand on Menashe. He switched his hands, and Menashe was the Bechor. Menashe was demoted, if you will. He could have felt rejected. He was demoted. I know you're the Bechor. Yaakov says, Yadati, Bini, Yadati. I know I'm switching my hands. I'm making the second born the older one. Yisimcha Elokim Ephraim became Menashe, but Ephraim was the younger one. However, Menashe's koch, the koch of a Jew, is Gamliel. No matter what I am in life, no, I feel demoted. No matter my position, that's where Hashem wants me. If Hashem wants me second, even when I'm the Bechor, I don't feel rejection. Gamliel. Hashem is also to me. Clear? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do Binyamin, and I will see after Binyamin. How could this be? I'm so upset. Okay, Binyamin. 10:24. Va'al tziva mate b'nei Binyamin, avidan ben gidoni. This is fabulous. Binyamin is avidan. Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. Look at your notes, please. Look at your handout. 35, 16 through 18. Vayisumi Beis El, they traveled from Beis El, and they had a portion of land left to come to Ephras. Yaakov is going home with his family. Vateled Rachel, Rachel's giving birth. Vatikash Belidata, from the word kasheh. She struggles, it's hard for her when she's giving birth. Vayhi Bahashkosa Belidata, it's when she's struggling and it's hard for her in giving birth. Vatomer, the midwife says, don't be afraid, you're about to have a son. Vayhi Betseis Nafsha, as her soul's going out. Kimesa, she's dying. Vatikashmo Ben Oni. She called him the son of my pain. But his father called him Binyamin. Let's talk about Binyamin. Binyamin lost his mother during childbirth. He was bereft of his brother. So profoundly influenced by the loss of Yosef, his father never recovered. It says about his father, I didn't give it to you. Forgot what I just said. No, don't erase. His mother died in childbirth. He lost his blood brother. He was so profoundly influenced by the death of his brother, what they thought was death. He named all 10 sons after Yosef. If you want to see it, it's Bereishis 43:30 with Rashi there. He named all 10 sons after Yosef, the uncle they never knew growing up. He was lonely and he was alone. And his father was in a constant state of mourning. He didn't have a mother. He didn't have his brother. He was so scarred, if you will, by what happened. He named all 10 sons after Yosef, and he didn't have a father. Because we know the entire 22 years that they were separated, Yaakov was never besimcha, and the Shechina, as Chazal say, never rested on him. His father was in constant mourning. Yaakov refused to be comforted. He said, I will go down to the grave in mourning. His father was in constant mourning. The Shechina did not rest upon him. There was no Simcha Sachayim during those 22 years. His mother was dead. His brother was gone. Yosef was alone and lonely. We see a Kosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov. Binyamin. Thank you. Binyamin. Binyamin was alone and lonely. A person, God manifests and interacts with this world in two ways. What are they?
Esther Panem or...
Okay, so beautiful. Hester Panim you'd say is Midas
Din.
And Gili Shrini you'd say is Midas Rachamim. Very, very nice. Both of you together, very nice. Who would Binyamin say manifest? Which attribute of a Kadosh Baruch Hu would a person in Binyamin's situation say manifest in his life?
Din.
You could be faithful to God, you could be a great Jew, but say this is Din. What's the name of the tribe, the prince? God is my judge. God Elokim, my father, is my judge. It's not a crisis in faith to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests as Din. Sometimes he does. We have times of Esther Panim. We have a Gzeiras Din. When the 10 martyrs are being taken out to be killed, the Malachim says, Zu Torah v'zu Schara. And when Rabbi Akiva was the Misarkin Besar b'Masreika Shalbarzo, says the Gemara, they're scraping his flesh, and the Malachim said, Zu Torah v'zu Schara. Gezeira hi milfanai. It is a Gezeira before me. Accept it. So there's this attribute of Din. And when a person loses the mother in childbirth, loses the brother, the father, for all practical purposes, could not be his father during those 22 years, you could say, Din manifests in my life. Not that I don't believe in God, But he's Midas Adin. What's the name of the Nasi of Binyamin? Avi Dan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my judge. Midas Adin. Yes?
That's what I was going to say earlier, that Yosef also only spoke of Hashem saying Elohim, right? And that's what we learned. He also saw Hashem as only Din.
Very nice. Beautiful. It gives me a lot of nachas and baruch Hashem gratitude when people remember what we learned. Thank you. Okay. Hashem. Who didn't we do? We didn't do Dan, who was Achiezer. Dan is short. Can we just do Dan, and then we won't do the next two? I think I'm going to do it next week. Tu'al. Who has to leave?
I have to go.
Malki has to leave. You have to go. Let's do Dan. God is... Okay, Dan. Dan v'nasa degamacha b'nei Dan me'asif v'chol machanos, and Dan, the gatherer for all the tribes, was the gatherer for all the tribes, and who was his Nasi Achiezer ben Amishadai? We spoke about this a little bit last week, but I'm going to repeat it for those who were not here quickly. I'm going to tell you what Rashi says. Dan was the gatherer for all the tribes. Dan was the most numerous. He traveled in the back, says Rashi Malki. I'm going to send you the MP3, okay? He was the most numerous. He traveled in the back. Malki, take a muffin from us. It's low fat. Please. Tell her I sent it. Tell her I sent it. It's little. It's low fat. Tell her. He was the gatherer for all the tribes. Dan was the most numerous. He traveled in the back. Rashi says on that pasuk, whatever Dan lost, whatever anybody lost, Dan returned. You lost your scarf, you lost your baby blanket, you lost your checkbook, you lost your purse. 2 million people. Somebody's going to lose something. Who was the ma'asif l'chol ha-machanos? Dan. That's what Rashi says on this pasuk. Okay, so that's Achi Ezer, my brother's helper. Do we understand that he was his brother's helper? He helped his brothers. There we go. Why Amishadai? So my thanks to Sarah Berger last week for pointing this out. We could translate Achiezer ben Amishadai is the helper of my brothers because they are the nation of Hashem. Very nice. Sarah Berger said, when we spoke about this, Dan is the helper of his brothers because Amishadai, they are the nation of Hashem. But I was thinking to myself when I was preparing, Michal, think, where do we see besides us? Because everything else, we're going through the Torah and seeing other places. Who knows? Where was Dan the helper for his brothers? I'm going to stand up. I'm so excited. Where is Dan the helper? Think. Please. I can't hear. No, in the Chumash. Not by Yeah, that's what Rashi speaks about when Moshe Rabbeinu gives his brachos on Yaakov. Somewhere where he's the helper for his brothers. Okay, look at the next one. 31:2. Look at 31, Exodus 31:2. Lady Shemos 31:2. Didn't I give it to you?
Yes.
Right here.
Shemos 31:2, towards the bottom of page 2. Ra'ei karasi b'shem b'tzal ben uri ben chur l'mata Yehuda. You know who's the master craftsman? He comes from the tribe of Yehuda. He's b'tzal. Who was his helper? I want you to tell me what you think of Torah. It's unbelievable. Va'ani hinei sati ito es ahaliha ben achisamech lemate dan. The master builder was Bezalel. Do you know who helped construct the Mishkan? Do you know who was the helper? Who kaviyachol brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu, helped bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to this world? Ahaliha ben achisamech lemate dan. Dan was truly his brother's helper. Achi Ezer, he helped his brothers. He saved his brothers. He brought the Shekhinah down. Okay. Ladies, let's go. I have to ask you a question.
He helped build the Mishkan.
By Binyan HaMishkan, the master craftsman was Bezalel. He had a helper. His helper was from the tribe of Dan. Dan was his brother's helper in bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah down to this world. Could you be a better helper for your brothers than causing Hasharas HaShekhinah in this world? You have to tell me if you want me to go on or not. Does anyone else have to leave?
I have to go.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
A few more minutes, you have to go.
Yeah.
People have to leave. People have to go. Okay, we didn't, so then we're going to stop. It's not fair. We're going to do Asher. I think, should we do Asher and Naftali next week?
Yes.
We could finish it and you could send them the end of it.
No? Will you listen if I send you the MP3? Do you give us permission to go on?
Yes.
Okay, fine. And share with your mother, okay?
Okay.
She will.
Do you ladies give me permission to go on? Because really, you're a Rai and we're not.
No.
Will you listen?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go. Va'al tzva mata b'nei Asher Pagiel ben Achran. The prince for the tribe of Asher was Pagiel. This is fabulous. Ready? You have to be with me. Bereishis 30:13. I'm moving over so they could see me now because I don't want to move away from you. 30:13. Vatomer Leah, and Leah said, Be'ashri, I'm fortunate. Ki yishruni banos, women will have deemed me fortunate. Vatikra shmo Asher. She called his name Asher. What does Asher mean? In order to understand Pagia, we have to understand what Asher means. Rav Shamsham Falhirsh says, Asher denotes, ready? An accumulation, Rav Shamsham Falhirsh on Bereishis 30:13, an accumulation of forces or resources, especially making strides, says Rav Hirsch, in the moral sense. Asher means making strides in the moral sense. Therefore, Asher is, quote, Rav Hirsch, progress, a steady march towards great wealth and qualities. It means thriving success. What does Ashrei mean? One's lot is progress towards goodness and happiness. So Ashrei means you're making progress. You're marching forward. You're moving towards goodness. You're moving towards success. Before we go on, is that clear what Ashrei means? You're making success and marching forward. I wrote unbelievable. What's the connection? When you make great strides, ladies, especially in the moral sense, when you're marching towards a wealth and character traits and midos tovas, when in ruchnius you're thriving and successful, when your progress is towards good and happiness, you are in effect journeying to Hashem. You're journeying to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vatomer Leah Ba'ashri, Leah said, I am fortunate, meaning I'm making strides in spiritual success. And who was the Nasi? Pagia. What does Pagia mean? Meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am meeting Hashem. When you're usher, when you're fortunate, when you're lucky. I'm going to bring you examples where you see it, okay? I didn't give it to you. I'm going to tell it to you. Pagia means to meet God. The Rambam writes, Maimonides, Hilchos Deos, you have to direct every single one of your deeds towards attaining knowledge of Hashem. You're sitting down, you're standing up, your speech should all be directed towards the goal. Even if you sleep, the Rambam says, if you sleep with the intention of resting your mind and body so you can be an Eved Hashem, your sleep is a service of Hashem. Concerning this, Chazal say, Kol ma'asecheyu l'shem shemayim, all your deeds should be for the sake of heaven. When you're progressing, ladies, towards good and happiness in all your endeavors, physical, spiritual, when it's everything is done l'shem shemayim, Ashrei, you're fortunate, you are journeying to meet Hashem, to arrive, so to speak, before God. I'll give you the ultimate example of exactly where we see this. First of all, you could look at Bereishis 28:12. He had a dream. The ladder was on the ground. Roshu Magia Hashemaima. The head of the ladder reached the heaven. That's Bereishis 28:12. Shemos 19:12. Kol Hanogea Bahar Mosimos. Anyone who touches, anyone who reaches the mansion will surely die. Esther 4:14. Umiyodei Im Le'eskozos. He got Lamachus. For this time, you have reached your queenship. This is why you're queen. But the ultimate example for our purposes, it should be on your sheet. Is it Bereishis 28:11? Yeah?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Vayifka, it's the exact word, paga. Vayifka b'makom, Yaakov encountered the place. Vayalan sham, he slept there. Kibaha shamesh, the sun had set. The sage is saying, Maseches Brachos 26b, we learn from here. Yaakov was masaking. Marif, Twilas Arvis, Yaakov, Vayifka b'makom, when you encounter God. Do you see, by the way, Vayifka b'makom could either be he encountered the place, meaning the geographic place, but what's the name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vayifka b'makom is exactly what we're saying. He encountered, pagal, you met God. It was a spiritual moment for Yaakov. It wasn't stum he encountered the place. He was having a spiritual moment. He davened Marif. When you move towards a spiritual goal, you encounter God. Vayifka b'makom vayala sham. He encountered God and he slept there. Ashrei, fortunate are you. Fortunate is the one who journeys forth, who moves forward in life, who encounters Hashem because you enhance your relationship. Ashrei. And therefore, the prince of the tribe of Asher is Pagiel.
Wow.
I have been in awe since Friday night when I started to learn through the parasha on the couch and I was going through the names of the Nesiim and I started to... I've been in awe. I think we have one more. We do. Does anyone have to leave?
No.
Let's go, quick. Valtava mat b'nei Naphtali Achira ben Einan. Achira, Naphtali, Bereshis 38:8. It should be the last pasuk on your source sheet. It is. Vatomer Rachel. Rachel said, Naphtuli Elokim, Niftalti im Achosi, Gam Yacholti, Vatikushmo Naphtali. Rachel said, what does Naphtali mean? It means to struggle. Rachel said, I waged a divine struggle with my sister. I prevailed. She called his name Naphtali. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, what is going on here? Naphtuli Elokim, it's a divine struggle. Naphtali means to struggle. However, Naphtuli Elokim means, she said, Naphtuli Elokim, said Rachel. It was a divine struggle. What do we call that? L'shem Shemayim. For divine purposes, L'shem Shemayim, says Rachel, I competed with my sister. Why, says Rav Shem Sharfosh? I wanted to be one of the Imahus B'Yisrael. I wanted to upbuild the household. This proved when I gave my maidservant to my husband, I was doing my duty to become an Aim B'Yisrael. So Naphtali means a struggle. But Naphtuli Elokim means a struggle, the shame, Shamayim. Rachel wanted to be one of the Imahos. It's one sister against the other. Rachel competed with Leah. But the sages tell us, Kol Machloka Shehi L'Shem Shamayim, Sofa L'Hiskayim. That's Pirkei Avos 5:20. Chapter 5, Mishnah 20. If you strive, if you struggle with another Jew, L'Shem Shamayim, then what? Your struggle will endure. And we see that Leah and Rachel's struggle did endure. Their struggle is L'shem Shemayim. They became the mothers of Klal Yisrael. Has Klal Yisrael not endured? Are we still not here? If your struggle is L'shem Shemayim. Naphtuli means a struggle. But it's Naphtuli Elokim. It's a struggle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes, you know what, ladies? Brothers struggle with each other. We do. However, if we strive and struggle, you know, for the sake of heaven, if we remember despite our differences, we are brothers, our nation will endure. Look at the name of the tribe of Naphtali. Achira. Sometimes we see each other as opponents. Ra. Sometimes my brother is seen as bad. Achira. But if I remember when it's one Jew against the other, that despite my differences, he is my brother, our nation will prevail. As the pasuk says, "Vahafta le re'acha kamocha." It's not an accident. The shorash of re'acha is ra. If you, even when you strive with your brother, as Rachel did with Leah, if you remember he's your brother, your struggle will ultimately bear fruits and will succeed. As the sages say in Pirkei Avos. I'm going to read you my concluding paragraph. When we learn and remember the lessons of the Nisim, we will be worthy to journey forth according to our legions as one triumphant nation. Here we go. I'm reading one paragraph. I'm summing up. We must be discerning and give of ourselves for the benefit of the Klal. Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav. We must always remember whatever wisdom we have is a gift given to us by Hashem. Yisachar, Nisana. When we succeed in commerce, our wealth is from our Father in heaven, Zvulun Eliav. When we feel lonely and abandoned and all alone, there is one who will never, ever give up on us. Eli Tzur, said Reuven, God is my rock. We must be at peace with our lot in life. We have to strive for shlemus in avodas Hashem. Even when you're the hated wife, what you have is not necessarily what you want. Shimon Shlumia. When you're strong militarily, when you triumph in war, when you conquer the land and you settle the land, it's not you. It's El Yasaf, says Vulun. It's God who gathers you in. When you are dispersed in the land of your exile, remember Hashem hears your tefillos. He will make you fruitful and successful. He's with you and you can daven Ephraim Elishama. We can learn and grow from our misfortune. We can feel demoted from our rightful place, but God is always with us. Menashe, Gamli, out. Even when Midas Adin manifests in our life, we stay loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Binyamin, Avidan. We must always help our brothers because they are the nation of Hashem, Achiazer ben Amishadai, to advance in our endeavors. When we advance physically and spiritually, Hashem Shemayim, we journey forth. We are lucky. We will encounter God. Asher was Pagiel. And when we are in conflict and struggle with our fellow Jew, it has to be Hashem Shemayim. We are brothers despite our differences. Naphtali, Achi. And then the pasuk says, 10:28. It's not on your hand because you could look in the chumash. When we're zocha to do all that, Eila Masay Bnei Yisrael Litzivos and VaYisu. These are the journeys of the children of Israel according to their legions. We will be zocha to travel forth triumphant. I want to thank you so much for learning with me and giving me the extra time. Thank you, ladies. It's unbelievable.